right. Luke 19, 28 to 44. After Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God and in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you do not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'"
Thank you, Nathan. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be able to share with you this morning on this Palm Sunday. Just a little bit about myself. I'm Joshua, and I serve in a church next to Kurong. So it's good that I'm able to read a lot of books there. We are also a Baptist church that would like to be faithful to God's great commission to make disciples and reach out the community. So I'm quite excited when I hear, like Chris was sharing to us, that you guys are reaching out to the community next Sunday. I heard the news and I'm very sad about Chris as well, but I'm glad I kind of could give her some space as well to arrange all the things that she needs to. It is my prayer that in the future that our churches could partner with each other to help each other in sharing the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So today I want to share with you more about the message of Palm Sunday. I know everybody knows quite a lot about like the Good Friday and the Easter Sunday, but we don't often celebrate Palm Sunday. This is the day when Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem and triumphantly on a donkey. And so the Palm Sunday marks the beginning of the Holy Week, which leads up to Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Palm Sunday asks us to behold holding the palm branches in our hands as a symbol of joy to welcome Jesus into our lives. Could I try this out? Okay. This is great. But today we want to look at the original story and see if it is really a joyful event and are the people really welcoming Jesus as their kings in their lives. So before we delve into the passage, let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thanks for letting us come into your presence and listen to what you have to say to us. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be working in us, convict us, teach us, transform us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just few weeks before Jesus enters Jerusalem, a significant thing happened in this Jerusalem area that changed it totally. Jesus has been doing miracles and have always attracted a great crowd. But what Jesus has done these few weeks is somebody nobody has done for the whole history, something only the real messengers, God's real messenger, could do. He raised someone from the dead and comes into life. After a few days, dead, who is? Lazarus. So a lot of people must be thinking, is this the real Messiah, the real Savior of our country that we have been waiting all these years? And so this event awakened the whole Jerusalem. While it is also the Passover of Jerusalem, everyone is flocking towards the temple, but not to just worship God, but to see Jesus. It is estimated that there's around 2 million people at that time. So will Jesus finally be reigned as the Messiah, Jerusalem's King? Will there be a glorious moment that God will finally bring his salvation to these people who have lost everything? And it is also a crucial moment for Jesus as well. Up to this point in his life, he has never done anything like this, an open display of his kingship. He was always the Messiah. He was always the King. He has always demonstrating that he has the power to do all sorts of things. And at this point of time, it would be right to adore him, to worship him. It would be right to have a massive celebration of his entrance. But he never allowed it. In fact, if people try to do it, he stopped it. This is the time where he ever allowed it. Why? It is because this is God's time. Right from the beginning of his ministry, the religious leaders we know wanted him dead. He knew that any kind of display would basically speed up his death. But now it is time for him to go to the cross. It is time to achieve salvation of the whole world, the most critical mission of the whole world. He is going to swing the wide open, the salvation that is bringing to this world. And so it is under this context that we look into this story. And so I'm not going to read this again, but first of all, we see when he enters, it shows he is a humble king. And in the preparation of this entrance, we see he is a humble king. So why is it so important about this preparation? If you actually look at this passage, it looks more like a robbery, right? A guy just sneaking into the town, untying some animals, and trying to make off with them. But the truth is, there is a supernatural sense to this, that Jesus knows exactly which village to go, and then where the disciples will find the donkey, and what type of donkey it is. And also predict what the person will ask and what to reply. So this really shows his supernatural knowledge, because he is God. He knows everything. But also it comes because it fulfills the prophecy that has been read. Just Cameron has been reading this. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation." He is coming as a savior, humble, mount on a donkey. Wow, 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah predicted that he would be riding on this donkey, and he knew. He knew exactly which donkey and how to acquire it. So this event is significant. To prepare for the donkey is for all those people who are reading today, you and me, to acknowledge that he is indeed the king. He is indeed the Messiah coming to rule and save his people. But not only fulfilling the God's prophecy, he come in a donkey. Of all the entrants of kings at that time with most Roman kings, they will come with a majestic display with luxury crowns, giant rubies, diamonds, and magnificent horses. And the fact is, this is God's true king. Of all the entrants in history, there is no monarchy even coming close to the way Jesus deserved all the honor. There has never been one so supreme, so magnificent, so powerful, so sovereign, and so glorious as him. Nobody even come close. But no, he rides on a donkey. He comes in a, not as a conquering hero, riding on a white horse. He did not come in any earthly splendor on a, of power. But he come in humility to save and to die and give a ransom for sinners. He did not come in the city in wealth, but in poverty. He did not come to slay the enemies, but to come to save sinners. Jesus knew the prophecy. He is to humble himself to be offered as a lamb to the people, so peace could come to reign. What a magnificent yet humbling picture. To us this week, as we prepare for the Sunday, next Sunday, as Palm Sunday, it's also about humbling ourselves and servicing. It is about saying our lives that the Lord also needs us, needs it. In this season, we acknowledge Jesus is indeed the humble King. In his presence, we are not recognizing only our own sins, but to identify with Christ's suffering and dwell on his humble willingness to take on the sins of the world. So in this week, will we spend a little bit of time, maybe this week, just an hour, just to prepare our hearts for this Easter season? Maybe send a meal fasting or spend some time praying, focusing our minds on Jesus. The story continues. The story continues as we show God as a glorious king. It says they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the cloth, and put Jesus on it. And he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory is the highest. And so we could see here the adoration as Jesus entered Jerusalem. He received, you could say, even worship. As they spread their garments on the road, it symbolized submission. To put your garments under somebody is to represent submission. They placed themselves under Jesus' feet. And you can see it is escalating now, the whole scene. When you think about the picture, Jesus is entering Jerusalem. They are thinking that the kingdom is coming immediately. From the prophecy of Zechariah, he is going to bring God's kingdom into earth. So they are spreading their garments. One does it, another does it, and then the whole floor is full of people submitting to Jesus. And finally, this little donkey is walking through a pile of these ropes, and he came to the road of Mount of Olives. And so in Mount of Olives, you could see Jerusalem, the golden and blazing scene right in the middle of the noon, and they see the king coming back to the glorious Jerusalem, the golden holy place. And when the city is revealed, what happens? Immediately, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice with all the miracles they have seen. And you remember, what they remember is all the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, all the miracles, all the teachings of Jesus. The blind man could see. The lame could walk. People's souls totally transformed by Jesus, forgiving their sins. And Lazarus rise from the dead. And they realize, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They honor him. They worship him as the one who comes with full authority of the Lord. They are swept away. They were joyful and celebrating. And in other Gospels, he mentioned cutting branches from trees and spreading on the road. They are symbols. The palm actually symbolizes joy. And from there, it brings peace and in fullness of his glory. And Matthew uses Hosanna to the Son of David. What it means, Hosanna, is save us now. Save the nation. Save us from the oppressive Romans. Save us from this desperate condition in the world. And what we see here is the real Jesus, who is the glorious King. He not only affirms he is the Messiah to save the world, but also his deity. He has the right to be worshipped. He is the glorious King that is worthy of all the adoration here, all the praise here, and he will bring God's peace on earth. And this is what you and I are doing, right, today. If we acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God, your Savior, then he must be praised. And when he comes as King, every knee shall bow and every tongue will utter his praise. And it is not our bearing witness this week or the weeks following also a form of praise? Do we refuse to praise him when we fail to tell others him and his love? And so, let's encourage each other this week to keep on telling others about his love, especially in this time of Easter. But unfortunately, this is where all the good things go. In such a glorious celebration, the story in Luke especially ends in a very sour and sad note. And so let's look at the last part of this story. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." With people who accept Jesus, there are also those who do not accept him. The leaders see the whole display as blemishy. They don't think he deserves to be worshipped and adored in this way, but because of the crowd, they cannot do much about it. So they can only say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They are out of control. They can only ask Jesus to silence his own disciples. But his reply is the turning point of this event. It is a stunning reply. He answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stone will cry out." And then he pronounced judgment. He is not only the humble King, the glorious King, but he is also the judging King. His reply comes with a deep irony. He says, if the disciples cease to acknowledge that he is King, even the creation itself would cry out testimony to him. Creation is aware of Jesus, but the leadership of his people is not. That which is lifeless knows life when it sees it, even though which the living does not. And so that's why Jesus wept. The Lord of all universe of this wept. This is not simple word for weeping. It is a very strong cry, a heavy sobbing, agonizing, wrenching expression of sorrow. Jesus sees Jerusalem and is racked with agony. out of all this celebration, all this happiness, at the same time, that is superficial. He could see right through it. He wept in the face of many hypocrisy and shallowness, and how in a week's time, he is totally rejected by Jerusalem. They would even let him into the cross. He wept because he knows what would come after. He wept because he has to judge these people. And he laments. He said, only if you grab this day, if you know right, this day is the visitation from God. If only you know the things which made for peace. He is talking about his life mission to make peace for God to man, heaven to earth. And what makes of this peace? We could say it's repentance, it's faith in Christ, it's believing in the message of kingdom. And right through the gospel of Luke, from the very beginning to now, this gospel has been offered to them week after week after week, again and again. And if you have known, if you have understood, and if you have embraced and believed this day, you would be saved. This incredible hour which God himself has moved among you, if you have only believed the things that have made for peace, the salvation message. But you didn't. You didn't. They chose unbelief. They gave invitation. He gave invitation after invitation, but they reject them all. They reject the peace of God. And hence the lament, and it is then the judgment. This is why exactly happened in Jerusalem in 17th AD. 5 months, the siege took, the Roman overpowered the weakened and starving Jews. Roman soldiers rampaged through Jerusalem, basically slaughtering everyone. They destroyed the city, everything except the now wailing roar where people cry over the wall. And the emperor ordered the entire city and temple to be razed to the ground, so even future visitors spot no reason that to believe there was a city that has ever inhabited in that area. Why such a total destruction? The reason is at the end of this passage, because you didn't recognize the time of your visitation. The visitation is the visit of the incarnate God for the purpose of salvation. The day where God draws near his people. But you didn't recognize that God was visiting you. You didn't recognize that he became man to visit you. And you reject the one and only chance to be saved. And so right up to this Palm Sunday, God is not asking those Jews on that day, but today he is asking us as well on this Palm Sunday, what are you doing about God's gracious visitation in your life with the truth of gospel? This Easter, we could go through the whole vacation, coming to worship on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. We could be very high and we could be all celebrating with our community. But deep down, we could still not receive Jesus to be our Lord and our King. Still in our core being, we are rejecting him, not submitting him, not allowing him grace to fill us, define us, transform us. And so if today, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't delay anymore. Today, it's a very good lesson for us not to reject him. Don't follow that path. Become one of him. Embrace him as your true Savior today. And you, if you today have already made that decision, please. And if you want to make the decision to receive Jesus, please talk to some of the leaders here. And if you have already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Palm Sunday is about emptying ourselves so we could receive and feel, be filled once more by his grace. And if we don't get empty, we can't be filled again by him. Therefore, it is a season of humbling ourselves, reflecting on our comfort, our pride, our sin, to fast and to pray. And so let me end with one quick testimony. In our church, there are many people who come to Christ for a lot of different ways. And recently, God did an amazing work in one of the men's life. He has been proud of himself all through his life. He has been very successful in his business. He has have some highly achieving kids. He has a very warm and great family. His daughter has been sharing with Christ with him this whole life. But he refused the visitation. He refused to receive it. But God is a gracious Lord. In this case, God emptied him. His business was in decline. His health was declining. Where it seems a lot of bad things happening, at the same time, it is a spiritual blessing. A year before he dies, he finally realized how desperately he needs God and Jesus. And so to all people's surprise, he believed Jesus as his Lord. His whole life was changed. His whole life is defined by God's grace from that moment forward. And you see, his whole face has changed. He was just full of joy, and his eyes were looking at everyone and caring for a lot of people. And thank you, Lord, as we prepare for the celebration of this Easter Sunday, let's also empty ourselves, and so that he might fill us again with his grace and power of his blood. So let's pray, and let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage here as you speak to us. And so, Lord, help us today to empty ourselves, prepare our heart so that we could receive the great grace of your salvation and to be able to receive the power of your resurrection. And Lord, as we often, in a lot of ways, reject you, today, Lord, help us to receive you. Receive you as our real King in our lives. And may you once again transform our lives through your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.